Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
You know that milk is usually always at the back of the supermarket and that the conveyor belts are getting longer. These are just some of the tricks or retail hacks that supermarkets employ to get us to buy more. Conor Pope was recently writing about them in the Irish Times, and he joins me now, as does retail consultant Eddie Shanahan. Conor, we'll start with you. Thanks for... I was reading this piece last week and I was quite intrigued by some of the minutiae within. Let's talk about the Hotel California syndrome first. You can check out any time you like, but you will struggle to leave.
Absolutely. And the thing is, a lot of your listeners will be familiar with some of the more traditional supermarket hacks or tricks. And I think hacks is probably a better word, because tricks implies something kind of deeply sinister, and it's not really that sinister. But what they like, so people will be familiar with the old fashioned method of putting the sweets at the checkouts, because that way the kids would have the pester power and they'd be saying, "Mammy, mammy, mammy, can I get a chocolate bar?" or whatever it might be. And Fergal Quinn famously got rid of that because he wanted to incentivize more parents to come into the shops. And then, of course, there's the wafting of the fresh scent of bread through the air conditioning, because that makes you hungry and that makes you want to shop more. But there's a whole lot more that goes into it. And it's not by any means Irish supermarkets. It's supermarkets all over the world. And they spend millions, if not tens, if not hundreds of millions of euro on behavioral psychologists and retail experts to understand how we think and how we might spend more. And they could say, oh, well, how we might get more out of the shopping experience. But ultimately, it's about how we can spend more money. So one of them, and you mentioned it, is your listeners will notice this. When you come into a supermarket, oftentimes it's easy to get into the supermarket, the sliding doors open and you're grand. But then to get out of the supermarket, you have to walk all the way through the supermarket. And then you kind of have to shimmy past other shoppers at the checkouts because they've blocked off the unused checkout tills, like it's some kind of border crossing in Berlin in the 1950s. So you can't get through the checkout lanes that are unopened. So you kind of think, oh God, I might yeah, do some shopping while I'm here. Now, you mentioned the way shops are laid out, and that's really where a lot of the science and the research goes into it. So for instance, the moment you walk into any big supermarket, and Eddie will tell you all about this, the first thing you see are the fruit, the vegetables, the bread, the flowers. And there's two or three different reasons for that. The first reason is bright colors lift our spirits, and a happy shopper is a spendy shopper. The next thing is obviously the sight and the smell of the bread makes us hungry, and a hungry shopper is a spendy shopper. And then there's another reason, which is if we put all our fruit and our vegetables and the wholesome stuff into our shopping trolley in the first instance, we are more inclined then to buy all the junk and the crap towards the back end of the shop, because nobody's going to walk into a supermarket, yeah, and nobody's going to put in four bottles of wine and seven boxes of chocolates into their supermarket trolley in the first instance, because it makes them look like a total lush. So you feel better all right about yourself when you've got the food veg in. There's another, and then you mentioned the milk. And of course, milk is one of the very few destination products that supermarkets sell. So people actively go into a shop looking for milk, because like a lot of people, you know, you run out of milk in the middle of the week or whatever it might be. Now, there's two reasons why they put the milk in the dairy sections at the back. One is obviously the practicality of it, that you put the dairy closest to the delivery bay so that, you know, it comes in, it doesn't have to go all the way through the shop, so it stays chilled for longer. But the other key reason is if you put the milk in the dairy at the very back of the shop, and this is almost every shop, like the likes of your Spars and Centras, as well as your Tesco's and Aldi's and Lidl's, it means the shopper who just needs a litre of milk has to walk all the way through the shop. And sure, while they're on the journey through the shop, they might as well pick up a few bits and pieces while they're there.
Yeah.
And it's all designed cleverly to get us to spend money.
Okay.
And another way...
Well, hold on a sec, Conor. Let's just bring in Eddie Shanahan, because Eddie, you're going to say, I'm not going to preempt what you're going to say, but I'd imagine you'll say, why wouldn't you do this if you're in business to make a profit and give good customer service?
No, good morning, Bobby. Good morning, Conor. I think some of the hacks that Conor is talking about can be seen as much about service and customer satisfaction as they can about tricking the customer.
Yeah.
And supermarkets are in business, first and foremost. And part of their job is to create happy shoppers and to make a profit. So I think what we're really talking about here is a trade-off between commerce and convenience. And I mean, even my local farm shop puts the vegetables, the new season vegetables out front and the fruit out front, and they keep other things to down the back. Now, I don't agree with everything that supermarkets do. Some of the things they do drive me absolutely crazy. But just think from a practical point of view now, how many of us have often gone to a shop and come back having forgotten to get the key thing we went down there for? I read through Connor's article, because I read his articles regularly, and they're always very good and entertaining. But I read through the article, and some of the things I would really question, like, supermarkets put the things that we buy most often at eye level. And that's a customer service. I don't want to have to go searching around like I'm on a treasure hunt to find where the coffee is.
Yeah.
And equally, you know, I'd also challenge the point about multi-packs. Multi-packs of staples can be very good value. Like, if you buy a multi-pack of coffee and you save €5 in the process, what's wrong with that? It doesn't mean you're going to drink more coffee. It just means you're not going to have to buy coffee again for another couple of weeks. And then maybe there's another offer there. So, you know, I agree with some of what Connor says, but not all of us.
Well, that's why we have you on, Eddie, and it's good to get your point of view. Connor, two-for-one deals rarely work in your favour, and shoppers who choose two-for-one deals buy anywhere between 30 and 100% more than they planned.
Yeah. No, actually, I have to say, I have so much time for Eddie, right? So I know that it makes good radio and you have a big row. And I say, oh, no, Eddie's completely wrong. But I mean, Eddie knows this business a lot more, a lot better than I do, because this is his area of expertise. But it's more the sense that if you have the two for deals, a lot of the time you overspend. And that's fine if you're buying something like coffee, because coffee has a really long shelf life. But it's not so good when it comes to produce that has a shorter shelf life, because oftentimes you end up buying products and then you end up throwing it away. Now, it's well documented that Irish households throw away around €700 worth of food every year.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons for that is they are suckered into, and again, suckered is the wrong word, and I apologize for using it instantly, because it creates this negative impression, because they are encouraged to buy products such as bagged lettuce or what if fresh produce on twofer deals. They buy the stuff because they are well-meaning and they want to eat all this healthy stuff, and they end up throwing it away, because we are all human beings and we all make errors. But when I talk about the tricks and hacks and stuff, it's more the really sneaky things. And sneaky is in the sense that we don't know that they're happening. So, for instance, I couldn't believe it when I read that the reason why supermarket trolleys are getting bigger, it's because there is evidence from the United States that suggests that the bigger the trolley, the more money we spend. And there's a reason for that. And I can see why. I'm guilty of this as well. Back when I was a kid, right, my mother used to shop before there was really supermarkets. Like, I'm not that old, but, you know, they weren't these massive hyperstores that exist now. And there would be these tiny, relatively small little trolleys that you couldn't fit a small child like me into. Like, there was no way you'd have seats, but they were small little trolleys, and you'd push them up and down around the shop. And there's practical reasons. The supermarkets weren't that big, so you didn't have massive big trolleys. But as time went on, the trolleys got bigger, and as the shops got bigger, people put more stuff into the baskets or the trolleys, because they want to make sure that they've got enough stuff and they've got value for their money when they do their shopping. So that's one reason why.
Well, Connor, can I just help you out there in terms of, I was in the States recently and I actually visibly noticed how much bigger the trolleys were in the local Winn-Dixie or Publix than they are here in Tesco or Dunn's. Like, they're probably 20% bigger.
There are studies that suggest that the bigger the trolley, the higher the percentage of spending from a shopper. And you can kind of understand where that's from. But then there was other clever things that they do. For instance, like, if you look at some of the retailers now, the conveyor belts that you put your groceries on are getting longer and longer and longer. And there is a reason for that. It's not just because they want longer conveyor belts. But as Eddie says, they're in the business of customer service, retailers. So they're in the business of making money, but they're also in the business of making our customer experience better. And we psychologically feel that our shopping journey is over as soon as we start putting our stuff onto the conveyor belt. So it doesn't matter if there's three mountains of other people shopping ahead of us on a really long conveyor belt. We feel like we're making progress when we start loading our goods onto the conveyor belt. So the behavioralists in the supermarket space said, well, let's just make the conveyor belts longer.
Yeah.
And that way, three people will be able to pack their groceries onto it as opposed to one person. So all three people feel slightly better about the experience, despite the fact that there is no material difference in terms of the length of time it takes them to get from the moment they join the queue to the end. And then there's other things that they do. For instance, if you and all of your listeners will notice this. If you go into a supermarket and you're at the tills and you've got your basket or your trolley of stuff, and you look down at it and you say, God, you know what, that really expensive fancy bag of high-end salt, I don't need that. And you take it out of the trolley and you think, where will I put it? Now, there's no shelf space, there's no spare space anywhere in the shop. Now, part of that is because all space is at a premium when it comes to retail. But the other reason is there's nowhere for you to put that fancy bag of salt. So you just leave it in your trolley. And then the other thing that they all do, and this is, again, a psychological trick. I mentioned the fact that the fruit and vegetables are always at the end of the shop. The chocolate and the alcohol are always at they're always at the end of the shop. And the reason why it was because people are tend to buy more alcohol and buy more chocolate when they've done the rest of the shop, because they're kind of rewarding themselves. And it's changed in recent times, obviously, in an Irish context. But the other thing that retailers have always done, and I've often wondered this myself, is when you go into the off-license section of a supermarket, everything changes slightly, right? So instead of the tiles that you might have in your regular supermarket section, there might be slightly, you know, a wooden floor effect, or there might be more muted colors. And the idea psychologically was to create this impression that we were in some class of gentleman's club when we got to the off-license section.
Which doesn't open till 12:30 on a Sunday.
On a Sunday.
And you're waiting outside feeling like an alcoholic saying, why am I standing here waiting for the off-license to open?
And again, it's not, there's nothing malevolent about it. It's just trying to create a better user experience. But while creating a better user experience, they make more money. So it's a win-win for them.
Let's bring Eddie back in again.
That's dessert. If people give you a better customer experience, I would say they're entitled to make more money. Now, I'm just going to take you up on a couple of things there, Connor, because there's the difference here between theory and practice. I have 5 supermarkets in my local town, and I do my own supermarket shopping on a regular basis. And first and foremost, I like if it's a happy experience. And when I come to one of those new long checkout conveyor belts, I'm very happy that I've got in out of the hustle and bustle of the supermarket, where you're being bumped and bothered by 1,000 other people, and I'm on the belt. But it doesn't always end in a practical experience that makes me feel good about shopping, because then you have the person who hasn't got their €50 worth in their trolley, and they now want to go back to the supermarket shelves and fill that up. So it's not always as you tell it there. In all of my local supermarkets, there are 3 sizes of basket, trolley and larger trolley. And I would say none of them are supersized. Now, this is just a practice to be fair to the supermarkets. And in all 5 of those supermarkets, the treats are not at the very end of shopping. And in fact, the off-licenses now, because of the requirement to have the doors on them, are often in a very more remote part of the store. But I will agree with you on one thing. Supermarkets don't get it all right. I've just mentioned the voucher. It drives me insane when someone says, well, you've only got €46 there. Do you want to buy something else? No, I don't. But we're adults, and we should be responsible for our own choices and not blame the supermarket. There are special offers, though, and this drives me mad as well, where you get the super pack of biscuits and there are 30 biscuits in it, whereas 2 standard packs with 20 biscuits in each are actually cheaper. And that drives me mad.
All right.
And the other thing that drives me crazy is supermarket managers don't feel that they should say good morning, good afternoon or good evening to their customers. And they allow their staff regularly nowadays to block up the aisles with trolleys as they're restocking the shelves.
Okay, you heard it here, folks. The supermarket wars, the trials and tribulations of our weekly shop. Thanks to my guests, Conor Pope and Eddie Shanahan. A great debate, as always. Thank you indeed.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.